Hi, I'm Skip Nipper. Welcome to Skip's Corner, the podcast where I tell you about not only Nashville's great baseball history and traditions,
shot to right, a one-hop liner,
but certainly about its past. And you will hear a little bit about its present and future, too.
Yes, he can. It makes the waist-high catch.
There are great stories about Tom Wilson Park, Herschel Greer Stadium, Sulphur Dell, and the players, coaches, and fans who love everything about baseball. And every once in a while, you will get to hear from a special guest who will share their fondness and even passion for the great game.
It's a high fly ball down the right field corner, going way back, hits a leadoff home run.
I once read that Dusty Rhodes, whose contract was owned by the New York Giants, but he played for the 1952 Nashville Vols and another year too, had a salary of $5,000 over the entire season that year. Now, at that amount, divided by 5.5 months, the length of the minor league season, his salary was about $950 a month. Not all players made that much, as many player contracts were owned by the minor league team they played for. Rhodes was a promising major league player and did, in fact, become the most valuable player of the 1954 World Series. I'll bet you thought it was Willie Mays since he made that terrific over-the-shoulder catch at the Polo Grounds, didn't you? But no, it was Rhodes. And you can look up the story there. Now, only part of the salary of players obtained by clubs from the majors or AAA clubs on option is paid by the minor league teams, such as the case for Rhodes. But during the 1952 season, the Southern Association had a salary limit of $10,000 per month for the 19 players on the roster. That amount did not count for up to two rookies permitted on the roster list for the first 30 and the last 20 days of the season. I don't know how they worked that out, but that was the rule. And doing the math once again on my trusty calculator, $10,000 divided by 19 players means a little over $525 a month average. But business managers had to pay veterans what it took and at the same time pay rookies what they deserved. Now, that's quite a dilemma for the business manager, right? Fred Russell, beloved sports editor of the Nashville Banner, wrote in one of his articles in January of 1952 that Southern Association player salaries ranged from about $225 a month to as high as $900 a month. And remember, that is for a little over 5.5 months of play. I did my calculations again, and in today's money, $900 would be worth about $10,600. And at the lower level, $225, the minimum, it would work out to about $2,600 a month to play baseball. Well, today, the average annual pay for a minor league baseball player in the U.S. is $50,906 a year. That works out to be approximately $24.47 an hour for the season. Now, I'm not going to go into what Major League Baseball players are paid, except for one. How much do you think Shohei Ohtani is set to make for the next 10 years by the Los Angeles Dodgers? How about $2 million a year? But for now, let's come back down to earth and take a look at something I have wondered, and I will use 1952 as the year. That's when Dusty Rhodes had that whopping $950 a month salary for half a year. Have you ever wondered what ballplayers did during the offseason back in the day when salaries were not exorbitant like they are today? For example, what did Nashville Vols do in the offseason? Well, we have George Leonard to thank. In September of 1952, he wrote a column in the Nashville Banner about that very subject by polling some of the players just as the 1952 season was ending. First of all, Buster Bogusky, Bama Ray, Pete Mallory, and Jimmy Stevens would remain in Nashville. And many remember that Bogusky, who spent seven seasons with the Vols, worked as a sporting goods salesman and was a Metro councilman for many years. But he told Leonard that after the season in 1952, he would take a short vacation, then resume his job with a life and casualty insurance company. Jim Constable would return to his hometown of Jonesboro, Tennessee, and attend college at East Tennessee State in Johnson City. And Rance Pless, a cabinet maker for Magnavox in his hometown of Greenville, would return home. And Bob Boring was from East Tennessee, too, from Friendsville, Tennessee, just east of Lenore City, but he hoped to play winter ball in Puerto Rico. Pitchers Pete Mallory was part owner of a Woodland Street Motor Sales, and Jim Stevens was a design engineer with the Nashville Bridge Company. New manager Hugh Poland in 1952 was the first season of the Nashville Vols affiliation with the New York Giants, an affiliation that lasted through the 1954 season. So Hugh Poland began his first year with Nashville in 1952, and he was part owner of a feed and grain business in Allensville, Kentucky. First baseman Jim Marshall, who would become a coach and manager in the majors, would be driving home to his hometown in Compton, California, as soon as the season ended, and would enroll in Compton College and spend the next few years with Oakland in the Pacific Coast League, and he became manager of the Chicago Cubs in 1974, a post he held for three seasons. But he would return to Nashville. You may remember this. As a side note, Marshall became manager of the Nashville Sounds for one season in 1984. Pitcher Pete Motica was hoping to get a job at the New Orleans Fairgrounds, his hometown, maybe selling tickets, while Dick Adair of Philadelphia was going to go back home to the East and play pro basketball. Rube Novotny worked at his tavern in Streeter, Illinois, which he owned one-third of with his brother and his brother-in-law. Ziggy Jasinski would be driving to Long Island and hoped to return to Panama for another winter baseball season. Bob Lennon, 2 years away from tearing up the Southern Association with his MVP season in 1954, would be traveling to Brooklyn and construction work. Al Worthington, who will have a successful career as a pitcher in the major leagues, would be going to his wife's home in Fulda, Minnesota, for a few weeks of rest and relaxation before settling down for the winter at his Birmingham home. And back to Dusty Rhodes. What did he do in the offseason? Well, George Leonard does not mention him in his article about offseason jobs for the players, and I cannot find what he did once the 1952 season ended. However, once he retired after 16 years of pro ball that ended in 1962, he worked as a bartender in an Arizona resort, then returned to New York and found work as a Pinkerton guard at the 1964 World's Fair. And then found his niche as a crewman on harbor tugboats. Eventually, he became a captain and worked on the boats for more than 20 years. And according to one account, he made more money in a month than he'd made in any year playing ball.